just get up here and just spout off a bunch of statistics and figures that were given to us at our conference. I wanted to kind of incorporate this into a challenge to the church and a challenge to each and every one of us. So I've decided to put a title to this. And if I could title this message, it would be R equals C over T. And is what R equals revival equals consistency over time. And the bishop mentioned this a few months ago in a message that he preached, and I just wrote that down, R equals C over T, and wasn't quite for sure how it would all work out, but I think it's working out for us tonight. Revival equals consistency over time. A lot of times in our lives, we wonder why in the world we struggle with things. We really struggle with things because we're not consistent with things in our life. It doesn't matter what it is. It may be at your work. Maybe you're struggling on your job with various things, or you're struggling at home. If having a nice mowed lawn or having a nice manicured lawn equals lawn mowing equals consistency over time. You know, if you don't mow your lawn in a consistent manner, you're going to have all kinds of weeds. If you don't shovel snow, we have snow season coming on us here. If you don't get out there and shovel your sidewalks, it takes consistency. There's so many things that we do in life that really boils down to just being consistent over a period of time. They say that if they can get a product for the various companies, if they can get you to use one of their products for 21 days consistently, you will be hooked for life. How many of you used Crest toothpaste? When you go to the grocery store, do you look at any other toothpaste, or you just look at Crest and you grab that brand, you throw it in your shopping buggy, and away you go? How many of you, that's the way you shop? How many of you buy any other brand of Kleenex other than Kleenex? You go in and you see Kleenex, you throw it in. I don't know about how you guys are with shaving cream, but you know what? I like one particular kind of shaving cream. And sometimes my wife will I love her dearly. I really love her dearly. But, sometimes it frustrates me when she comes home and I open up the cabinet and I got a different kind of shaving cream. And I'm like, what's going on? She says, well, I thought I'd try this one. I'm like, you're not trying that one. It goes on my face. I'm trying that one. So I wish you could just stick with the same brand. My face likes that same brand. So we get used to that. So it's just consistency, revival in our lives, revival in our families, revival in our ministries, revival in our church is really, it boils down to being consistent over time. So I want to get in this year at General's Conference. If some of you may not even know, it was in Indianapolis, Indiana. We had a number of folks from our church that were there in attendance. Pastor John and Terry Seidel from our VOSIS were there, and Pastor Thomas was there, and James and Andre Hawk went down with us, pastoring at Revival Ridge on the south side, southwest side. Our ladies minister, Sister Linda and her husband, Brother Kevin Brown, were there, Sister Autumn Lutzgraff, Lacey and Raphael, Jessica and Kenley Rivest, and Claudia and Sister Robin were there. So great to have all of them there. And I don't know if any of you were able, how many of you are able to watch any of the services via live stream? So some of this may be a little bit of a review for you. But the conference opened up. It was a rather, I think, unusual, but I very much enjoyed the first night that the conference opened up. It was opened up by one of our sisters that's preached, and she preached a message. Ashley Lipo preached, and she preached a message concerning the condition of your heart, how that so much of what we do, how we live, how we act, it all falls down to a condition of your heart. How is your heart conditioned? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your life? It's a reflection of what is in your heart. So she spoke on the condition of the heart and the importance of us guarding our heart. I don't think there ever is a time or an age where it is more important now than ever that we guard what is in our heart. We guard what we watch. We guard what we listen to. We guard what goes inside of us, because what is constantly fed to us is what will come out of us. That's just the way, that's how it works. And then we had Brother Tess Stewart, which was a brother from the country of Liberia, and he spoke on the anchor, the sail, and the net. Go to this website. Go to the website there, the UPCI, and if you can download these messages, I strongly encourage you to download these messages. These were tremendous message. He preached about the anchor, the sail, and the net, that our main function as a church, our main function as individuals of the church, is simply reaching the lost. That is why we are here. That is why God commissioned us. That is our purpose here, is to reach the lost. He spoke about the difference between a cruise ship and a fishing vessel. I've been on a cruise ship. On that cruise ship, there was over 5,000 people, and they were all there spectators. We were there to enjoy the ride. We didn't have to work. We didn't have to get up in the morning and make our own breakfast. We had people that would attend to us, so we were being spoiled rotten on this cruise ship. Now, you get on a fishing vessel, and a fishing vessel is much different. Fishing vessel is how the church should be. The church should not be a cruise ship where you have a whole lot of people spectating, just watching the events as they unfold, but should be more like a fishing ship, where that everybody has a job, everybody has a purpose. And our net, he talked about our anchor, where that our anchor is Jesus Christ. We need to be anchored in Christ. He talked about the sail. The sail is what gives us direction. We lift our sail and we sail in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And the net is what we throw out. That is the purpose. That is why we should never stop casting our net. Our net gives us the purpose that is larger than what our lives are. Our net is the purpose in which we are here. That was on Tuesday night. I strongly encourage you to listen to those messages. Wednesday night, it opened on Wednesday night. We had its missions night at conference, and we had hundreds of missionaries carrying flags from their fields of labor in our global mission service. I don't know if you've ever been to conference before, but it is just it just hit me right here in my heart so heavy when I stood there in the balcony and I watched hundreds of our missionaries with the flags from their field of labor as they begin to walk into the auditorium, and as they fanned out and went down and all stood across the front, and every country except for 19, I believe, there's 19 countries right now in the world that we do not have a UPCI church or missionary in. And I believe that, as the scripture says, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, I believe that our missionaries have an incredible job to do. And if it wasn't for us back here, us churches like Calvary Gospel Church, if it wasn't for people like you and I giving to foreign missions, we would not be able to accomplish what we are accomplishing. As the service began to go on, Brother Howell preached, and he began to give example after example of where God was meeting the need. They had 21, I believe, missionary families that were up on the platform at that time. And as the offering was kind of incorporated into the entire service, it was very powerful, actually. And as Brother Howell continued to preach and people began to go down and give in the offering, started off with just a few thousand, and then 10,000, and then 50,000, and then 100,000. And he began to present to each missionary. He had one of our new apostolic study Bibles, which if you don't have one of those, you need to get one of those. They're tremendous. They're apostolic study Bibles, and it's great because our doctrine is in it, and kind of helps you with the studying and such. It's just a great Bible to have and to study out of. But he began to present these Bibles to the families as the monies came in for them to go back to their field of labor. He was talking about how many hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars actually that we save by having our missionaries not having to travel and all of the travel expenses and all of the costs that it takes for a missionary to deputize for 2 years. And over the course of that service, there was enough money raised to send all 21 families back to the mission field. Over $1 million was raised in that one service. And I just felt, I know here at Calvary Gospel Church, we give a lot to missions, but we pledged an additional $5,000 to help send the missionaries back. I don't know exactly what family it went to or if it spread out among a number of families, but I thought that's the least that we could do. I also was encouraged that by the constituents overseas, as far as when we talk about the book of Acts and we talk about the new birth and we talk about the Holy Ghost being poured out and we have the former rain and the latter rain and we talk about 5,000 people or 3,000 people receiving the Holy Ghost and then later 5,000 and we talk about how great of a miracle that is and we think, Lord, if we could just experience this today. Last year in our overseas churches, our overseas constituents, they had 3,285,000 new births. They averaged 9,000 souls a day. 9,000 souls a day. That's something to worship. That's something to thank the Lord for. 9,000 new souls every day are entering into the kingdom. Can you just imagine how big heaven's going to be? Can you imagine that? 9,000 a day. And the Lord has a place for all of them. Thursday night, the superintendent from Southern California got up to preach, and he titled his message, Go. It was Brother Hodges, and he shared a testimony of their daughter work church, and it was very encouraging. We have a number of daughter works preaching points here at Calvary Gospel Church, but he began to share testimony of their daughter, one of their daughter works church, that he was out of town on a revival, and the pastor called him and said that, you know, we've been meeting in this warehouse that we've been given to for almost free rent, and this is in outside of the Los Angeles area, I believe, and he said the city came in and they condemned our building. They condemned the warehouse, and thus condemning the warehouse, they condemned our building. And he says, I don't know where to go, Brother Hodges. Do you have any ideas? This next week, we're going to meet in a park because we don't have anywhere else to go. It's nice weather, so we're going to go ahead and meet in the park. And Brother Hodges encouraged him and said, why don't you call around to some of the area churches and just see if maybe perhaps they wouldn't. They would rent their building to you perhaps in the afternoon or something like that. So he gave him a list of denominations that would probably be a good place to start. So he began to make the calls, and within a short time he had a pastor that said, yes, I would love to be able to take and meet with you. So the young pastor, he goes and he meets with the pastor of that church to see if they could rent space, and the pastor said, well, I think we could probably do this. He said, let me check with our board. So they had a board meeting, and the board voted unanimously to allow them to use their building. And then they said, well, we need to take this to the congregation. So they took it to the congregation, and the congregation approved it unanimously. And 2 weeks later, they were in a church, and they were worshiping God and having service. Now, we think that's a great miracle within itself, but just a few weeks later, they had already baptized 4 members of the church board, a number of the congregation that they were attending there, as well as the pastor and his wife were all baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you may say, that's a miracle. That's an awesome thing to happen. But you see, when God does something, he does it all the way. God says, you know what? I got something better for you. I'm not only going to just give you a few people. I got a better plan for you. And the pastor met with this young man. He said, I'm getting ready to retire. I'm at retirement age and I'm tired. I can't keep going on like this. The ministry has taken a toll. And he said, our church is declining in membership. We have a building here that's worth some $2.5 to $3 million. And he said, I've talked to the church board. We've talked to the congregation. And the congregation unanimously has voted you and your wife in as our new pastor. So in just 2 weeks' time, Pastor Thomas, they went from a condemned warehouse to a $2.5 to $3 million building to eventually he became the pastor of that church. Now you may say, can it get any better than that? You know what? With God, all things are possible. You see, God wasn't finished with this yet. You see, this UPC preacher, this young pastor, he began to share what was happening. There was another daughter work in another city close, and one of their young pastors of this daughter work had the same situation. And he said, you know what? I'm going to see if what will happen for my brother will happen for me. So he, looking for a place to have church after they had outgrown their little tiny storefront building, he went to one of these denominational churches and he asked the pastor, can we rent your facility? You'd almost think that it was the exact same story being told twice. But you see, God had a better plan and another plan. You see, God has a plan for each and every one of you here tonight. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. It doesn't matter what car you drive. All it matters is that you're willing to allow yourself to be used by God Almighty. So he goes and he asks a local church if he can use their building. And the pastor says, yes, you can use the building. But it gets better than this. The pastor, at some 20 plus years ago, God had spoke to this man, a non-denominational pastor, and said, in 20 some years from now, God is going to send a man to take your place. Now this pastor, not knowing this young man, as they conversed over the telephone, he said, I would like to meet with you. This young man shows up at the church. He meets the secretary. She ushers him in. He introduces himself. He shakes hands with the pastor, and he sits down. And as he sat down, God spoke to this pastor and says, remember that dream I gave you 20 years ago that someday a young man would walk into this church and he was to be your successor. He said, this young man sitting in your office today is the one I have called to take your place. The pastor began to share that with the young man. And he began to talk about their organization. He began to talk about their church. As time went on, as they began to use the church building, God filled that pastor and his wife with the Holy Ghost and many of the board and many of the congregation. But you see, the Bible says that in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon all flesh. And the Bible says God is going to pour it out. This pastor began to share with this The aging pastor began to share with this young pastor. He says, I would like for you to sit on our general board of directors for our entire organization. So this young pastor, he became a young pastor at a church worth, I believe it was $6.5 million building that was given to him. He is now sitting on the general board of this organization. And you may say, is God finished with this yet? God had a plan for this young man preaching faithfully, consistently, over time, having revival. When he could, whatever means was necessary, he would do whatever it took to get it done. He goes from a small storefront to a $6.5 million building to sitting on the board of another denomination's board of directors. And as he sat there in that board meeting, the president of that, or the general superintendent of that organization began to talk to him, and he said, listen, our organization is in trouble. Our congregations are aging. The average age of our congregation is over retirement age. We have no young people. We have no young men who are willing to take the pulpits. We don't know what to do. We have over 400 churches within the next 10 years that will have to close because we have no pastors. Is there any way you could take and you could help us build our churches back? Can you help us find young pastors to pastor our churches? Now you think of this, and you say, is this really possible? You see, we look at it sometimes, and we say, God, can you just help me to be a witness to my neighbor? And God is saying, I want to give you the whole block. And we're looking at one person. These young men were looking at one building. And God says, I'm not just going to give you a building. I'm going to give you an entire denomination that is hungry, that is thirsty, that is searching. Listen, you don't get to this point in time without some level of desperation and saying, God, we need a revival in our churches. I was so very excited when I heard these, because in the last days, we read about this, and we read about this entire denomination, these entire congregations, and I'm reminded of Israel as God promised them that I'm going to let you live in houses that you've never built. I'm going to let you drink water from wells that you've never dug, and I'm going to let you eat fruit from trees that you did not plant. Listen, church, God is setting up his church. He's setting up his kingdom for a last day outpouring, a last day flood of the Holy Spirit as it floods across this world. We say, oh, but pastor, understand, you know, this happened, you know, it didn't happen here in Madison, no, it happened of all places in liberal California. You see, God is moving not just in Africa. God is moving not just in Asia. God is moving not just in South America and Central America, all across Europe, but God is moving here in the United States of America. We have a whole country of young people that are searching, that are seeking, that are willing to sell themselves out for anything of substance. And if we can just introduce to them Jesus Christ, if we can just get to them Jesus Christ, we have a job to do. And it takes, revival takes consistency over time. As the service, as the conference began to move on Sunday or Thursday evening, this Thursday evening service started, and just outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, there was a small home missions church that had outgrown its old rented building. They had purchased a new land, 5 acres, to take and build a new facility. And there Thursday morning at 7 a.m. just outside of Indianapolis, I believe it was Cumberland, Indiana, that 250 plus volunteers joined together. And at 7 a.m. as a whistle blew and started another church in a day building project. By noon, the walls were up. By afternoon, the trusses were set. And while we were having service at 7 a.m. when our service, or 7 p.m. when our service started there at the conference center in Indianapolis, the electrical, the plumbing, the heating had all been done, and the drywall was all being taped and mudded in. 24 hours later, The church was moving in on Saturday morning. The church was carpeted. It was painted. The flooring was in. The steeple was on the roof. The software was loaded into the computers for worship service. And this past Sunday morning, our general superintendent, Brother David Bernard, preached the first service at yet another church in a day building project. We have some small home missions churches all over this country that are waiting in line for funds to have their church in a day built in their city. As I began to watch the videos and I began to watch the slide presentation as it went forth, God began to move on my heart and I began to think, listen, if we can build orphanage in Guatemala, if we can send missionaries to Africa, if we can send missionaries to Asia and to Siberia, we can take as a church and we can raise funds and we can build a church in a day right here in the United States of America. I begin to think of this. It takes $50,000 to build a church in a day. This is how it works. They take a church, they gather the funds. We donated $5,000 that night. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars was raised in that service, but how it works is a church, they will apply for the church in a day program. They will be approved through the Home Missions Board, and as they're approved, they are given $50,000 of seed money to start that church. Their budget, with an exception of the land and some of the site preparation that has to be done, their budget is $250,000. So what you see that was built right here was built for approximately $250,000, less the site work and whatever the cost of the land was. So if we as a congregation could take and raise enough funds so that 1 year we could plant a church in a day, and after 2 years that church refinances their building using the equity that they have in the building, and they take that $50,000 and they put it back in the church in a day program, so every 3 years that money is going back in to plant another church. If we could start two church plants consecutively 1 year after another, that money would continually, perpetually build a church every year for Calvary Gospel Church somewhere. And who knows, maybe some of you young pastors, maybe it's Brother James Hawk, maybe it's in Sun Prairie, maybe it's in Poinette, that someday we will be the recipient of a church in a day program right here in Dane County. Listen, I believe we cannot outgive God. If we're looking to take and build our addition onto our building and we're struggling to raise finances, and you say, Pastor, that $100,000 would go a long way towards a building. It won't even buy our building permits and our plans. It won't go very far, but $100,000 will build a church every year until Jesus Christ returns. Here in Madison, when we look at where we are, I was thinking about what God is doing and what God desires to do. I'm excited to live in the day that we live, Brother Russell. I know the world is in turmoil. The world is in chaos. But listen, Jesus Christ has everything under control. He sets kingdoms up, he takes kingdoms down. You got to understand that, church. When he says, look up for your redemption draweth nigh, listen, there's nothing that we got to worry about. There's nothing that we got to fret over. God has everything in control. As the conference went on Friday morning in the shadows, of the Lucas Oil Stadium where the Indianapolis Colts play and where our 2017 National Youth Congress will fill up a 70,000-seat outdoor arena with Jesus' name baptized, Holy Ghost-filled young people from the Pentecostal church as they begin to lift their voices up to heaven. I can't believe, but in the spirit realm, with that much praise and that much prayer and that much power going up in, that it's not going to change the very spiritual setting of the Indianapolis metro area. 70,000 young people are seeking to gather there next year. And I'm very excited. I think my wife and I, Sister Cecily, are going to join you young people on this next trip. I've always wanted to go, and this would be an awesome one to go to. But Brother Chad Douglas from our General Youth Division preached a message to our young people to dig deeper in these last days. I want to challenge you and carry this challenge on tonight. I'm not here to preach his message, but listen, now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to give in. Now is not the time for gutless, shallow Christian living. Now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to keep pressing forward. It's time for us to finish what we had started. The church cannot afford to allow the enemy's into our homes. We cannot allow the enemies into our lives. We cannot allow the enemy into our ministries. We cannot allow the enemy into our church. We are in the home stretch. This thing is winding down. The enemy is pressing in on every side, but we must continue to run the race. The fight's not going to get any easier. It's not for the faint of heart. We must pray together. We must fast together. We must serve together. And at the closing of our general conference on Friday evening, our general superintendent, Brother David Bernard, preached a message not just for those that were sitting there in that arena, the some 5,000 to 7,000 people, but this was streaming live all the way across the globe. He preached a message to the UPCI worldwide. It is time to act. We must not be a first generation church in the 21st century. If you look at churches, if you look at families, first generation church must have its own Pentecostal experience. The first generation experiences the revival, but as a generation, as a time goes on and the first generation begins to fade and the second generation seems to step in, as they step in, the revival is faded and they go into what we call maintenance mode. If we can just maintain, if we can just maintain, then the third generation comes along and you see this happen in so many families. That's why it's hard to find good, strong third, fourth, and fifth generation Pentecostal families, because as happens most in most churches as well, things that people begin to compromise. We cannot simply just maintain. We cannot compromise what we believe. This is our day. This is the latter rain. We have been called by his name. We are chosen. It's a time to put in motion what we have been preaching for some 2,000 years. We must keep God's word. We must take it seriously, and we must guard our sacrifice. Take heed. Be strong. Opposition will come, but we still have to do the work. We must make spiritual preparations. But we must also understand that just as these two pastors that were looking for buildings that had been condemned and outgrown, God has a plan and he has it all worked out. But you see, we must still make the preparations. Over the past decade or so here at Calvary Gospel Church, we've had great growth as a result of continued revival spirit. we have had great growth because we have had revival over consistency and over time. I'm so thankful for our bishop and where he has brought this church. And I'm thankful for the decades before us where they have brought this church. We cannot let this fade. We cannot let this die. We cannot let this sputter. I will promise, I made a promise to God that, Lord, if you've called me to pastor, when the trumpet sounds, I'm not going to present. I have no desire to present a beat up, weakened, beat down, beat senseless church. I want to present, I desire to present a powerful church, a church on the move, a church full of victory. Listen, when that trumpet blows and we cross that finish line, I want to cross that finish line with afterburners on, firing full speed ahead. I'm not interested in quitting. I'm not interested in giving up. I don't want to give one inch of territory back to the enemy. What is ours. God has promised it. We're going to take it. Over the past decade, we've added 7 preaching points. Over the past 10 years or so, we have Voces Unidas that meets right here in our main campus on Sunday afternoon. We have African International, Brother Claude Apka. They have their weekly services here on our main campus. We had his ambassadors, Brother O'Neill, on the west side. They've become an independent work. We have Revival Ridge with Brother James Hawk. All of the people who are assisting there, they've all had to step up in their growth. They've all had to get out of their comfort zones. They've all had to deal with situations and problems they never thought they would have to deal with, but yet they continue to move on. We have our Park Street location with Sisters Love and Sisters, and God is going to do some awesome things there. I feel it in my spirit. We're looking to start a Sunday service coming up this year. We're going to utilize that building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I believe that God is desiring to plant churches all over this county. We have our campus groups led by Brother Michael Tesh, who's had to step up out of his comfort zone in ministry. And recently, at the start of the school year, they had one of their campus meetings, and they had over 100 guests that came to enjoy some food and some fellowship. Listen, you never know when you have that type of meeting what's going to happen. But they get out of their comfort zone. They get into a place that they're uncomfortable, and God begins to use you. Who would have ever thought by going in and asking a pastor, can we use your building, that within just a few months you'd own the building, it'd be your building, it would have a new congregation, you'd have a church board, and you would be sitting on the board of another church's organization filling up their pulpits. We have our Sun Prairie, Rolling Prairie, that has a meeting on Tuesday night. Kevin and Linda Brown, along with our Sunday school leadership, Brother Rick Solberg, and I appreciate what they're doing. This past Sunday night in attendance, they had 30 people in attendance, and 10 of those were first-time visitors. We have out in Poinette, Brother and Sister Dave and Ellen Hopp, with the folks that live out in the Poinette, Morrisonville, and DeForest area, and we have a building that we've rented there, and we're having weekly services there. Listen, God is desiring to move any place we go, any church we plant. I'm believing that God is going to fill it up. God is going to bring the increase, but it will only happen. Revival will only happen if we are consistent over time. As to date, the past few months, we've had Mark and Christina Nikielski and Brian and Sarah Ragnard and Scott and Vicki Leonardson all have received their local ministry license, and I'm very excited. But listen, brothers and sisters, you didn't get your local ministry license so you could get an extra $20,000 life insurance and you could show up and get a few perks at district conference. Your licensed ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church, it is, you are licensed as a UPCI minister, because it is our duty. It is our duty. It is our cause. It is our purpose. It is why we are here, to go and plant churches, to go and sow seed. There are people all over Dane County that have never heard the oneness doctrine. Now we look at all of this, and our university We have people here by the tens of thousands, and it's our job, it's our responsibility, it's our mission, it's our purpose to reach them. And we will do this by planting one church at a time. We want revival. It will only come with consistency over time. It will only come with consistency over time. I was excited today in the mail. We had a certificate that came, and I do not have it with me because Jessica didn't trust me with it. But we voted in our last business meeting. We were not affiliated with the UPCI. And as of today, in the mail, as we receive this, we are officially affiliated with the United Pentecostal Church International. You may say, how did this happen? We had no idea we were not affiliated. Our pastor was once district superintendent for 17 years of this state of the UPCI Churches International, and he had no idea we were not affiliated either. We discovered this when we started to redo and upgrade our bylaws about a couple years ago. So now we are officially affiliated. I'm excited about that. We have our certificate now. But you see, the world is in revival. And I want to close out here. I'm not quite finished, but I'm going to close out here with a few points here. God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, every nation, every kindred, every tongue. But you see, revival does not begin with an evangelist pulling up into our parking lot, parking his fifth wheel, and coming in and preaching for two or three services. That's not revival. That's church. You see, revival doesn't begin with special services. Revival doesn't begin with special worship or special singing. Revival begins when one person, it only takes one person, Brother Thomas, when one person gets down on their knees and begins to cry out to God in repentance. And as God begins to flow through that repented life, He begins to change the thinking of that person. He begins to change the attitude of that person. And they have a change of heart. And as we read in Psalms 32, 5 and 6, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest all the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of the great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. You see, revival, Brother Rossing, it begins on our knees. It begins on our knees. It doesn't begin up here with some fancy songs and some good music. It begins on our knees in repentance. And you may say, but Pastor, I don't know what to repent for. Start with your pride. You see, revival begins, and as we repent, listen to me now, as we repent, as we draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto us. If you're here tonight, and obviously you're here tonight, and you wonder why God is not close to you and you don't feel God in your life, it's because you haven't spent enough time on your knees. You see, I don't know how your marriage would be, but if I went for days and for weeks and for months without talking to my wife, there would probably be some communication breakdown. I talk with my wife multiple times a day. For hours, sometimes, I talk with my wife. Now, you may say, what are you getting at here? Well, we wonder sometimes why God feels so distant and so far away. It's probably because we never really. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. You cannot have a relationship with God and not talk to Him. And we talk to Him on our knees. That doesn't mean every time you pray, you have to be kneeling down. Okay? I walked around my house today, and I just thanked God. It was a beautiful day, a little break in the rain. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm so thankful for what you have blessed me with. And I walked around my yard and I just began to thank God. I said, God, thank you for all of these beautiful trees. Thank you, Lord. These trees are beautiful. I don't deserve all of this, but you've given this to me. When's the last time we've thanked God for anything? You see, revival will motivate us into our prayer life. You see, when revival begins to break out in your life, you want to spend more time with God, not less time. I think what's happened to us this year as we went from the January, February, March, and we went into our summer and spring and summer, we just got busy. I think we just really began to stop talking with God, perhaps. God is saying, listen, I want to send a revival, not just to Calvary Gospel Church, but God wants to send a revival into your life personally. You see, revival will motivate us in our prayer life. Revival will give us a hunger for God's Word. Give us a hunger for God's word. Romans 10:17 says, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, God's word is our only source of spiritual nourishment. Did you know that? You don't get nourishment from anywhere else. You get it from the word of God. It's our nourishment. It's our only source of soul food. It is the only means by which you and I can live a holy life. You begin to stray away, it's because you're not reading the Word. We cannot live a holy life outside of the Word of God. It won't work. It won't work. All you're doing is setting yourself up for a big, huge failure. I tried for years to live for God and not live for God. You can't just live for God on the outside, because what's inside of you, eventually it will push its way out. God says, listen, this isn't in my notes, but I'm throwing it in here. God says, listen, I will not allow you to sit on the fence. Do you know God will force the issue? He will force the issue, and when he forces the issue, you are in trouble. When you get to that point, just through that. And revival will restore the flow of living water in your life. If you're dry inside, you're thirsty, you haven't had any of that spiritual living water. I've worked in construction for years, and man, there's nothing worse than working in a hot house that's got the windows closed, it's got the tar paper on the roof, and there's no breeze blowing in, and the sweat's pouring off of you, and your mouth is so dry, and you begin to cut and drill, and that taste of sawdust gets in your mouth, and you're like, oh, I'd give anything for a big glass of ice water. Sometimes our souls get that way, but instead of feeding our soul, we go run off and feed it with Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and the internet. And then we wonder why our lives become dry and uneventful. You see, God didn't design us to be spiritually dry, dead, and uneventful. That's not how God designed us. Revival will change your priorities. Revival will change your priorities. I know in my own life over the years, there's all kinds of things that change your priorities. If you're a couple, you have your first child, trust me, your priorities will change. They will change. It doesn't matter what you want to do. When the diaper has to be changed, it has to be changed. Because the longer it goes unchanged, the worse it gets. The messier it gets and the stinkier it gets. So you fathers out there that think I can wait until the wife gets home when she went to a ladies' luncheon and she won't be back for 3 hours, just put a clothespin on your nose and change it. Your priorities will change. You see, when revival comes in your life, when revival comes in your life, revival comes in your family, when revival comes in the church, our priorities change. Our priorities change. Revival will give you a reason to worship God. Psalms 51, 10 through 12 and 15. I'm not going to read all of this, but maybe I will. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall flow forth your praise. You see, real revival will give us a reason to worship God. When you look across this congregation and you see people just oblivious to what's going on around them and they're dancing and they're praying or they're down here at the altar during worship service and they're just pouring their heart out to God, you know what's happening right there? Revival in their life is giving them a reason to worship God. Revival will cause you to live the way that you know you are supposed to live. Revival, I'm going to close with this. Revival will give you peace. You want peace in your life? You want peace in your family? We want peace in the church? Listen, revival will give us the peace that we long for. Psalms 119, 107. I don't know if you've ever read the whole Psalms 119. It's the longest chapter of the Bible, but it is so incredibly awesome and powerful. Go home and just start reading it. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. We can stand to our feet tonight. In closing here, this spring I spoke of a change in the spirit. I just felt a change in the spirit. I spoke of feeling that the Holy Ghost, that there was something that was shifting in the spiritual atmosphere. And as I began to speak, I spoke of the seasons as they change and how winter snow gives way to the warm winds of spring. And as the snow melts and the flowers bloom and the birds return, the spring rains soon give way to the summer growth. The summer sun beats down. The grass and the flowers grow. But as the heat wears on, the summer heat gives way to the slow turning hands of time. As the days of summer slowly melt away, like the simmering sun, fall begins to step in and take its place. Probably noticed by now a lot of the birds are disappearing. The flowers that were once beautiful are now faded into the grass. You see, there's a change in the air. Church, we are in that change. Our world is changing. God's power is flowing like a floodwater as they rush across a dry and barren land. This is no time to become complacent or become lazy. You see, revival, church, is consistency over time. Perhaps tonight you've never really experienced revival in your life. How consistent are you with prayer? As I said, when's the last time that you've repented? You see, if you cannot remember the last time you asked God to forgive you, you're in deep spiritual trouble. You're in trouble. You see, revival is consistently reading God's word. Our sword is the word of God. It's an offensive weapon that He's given us. I ask you tonight, do you know where your sword is? Is it at home on your nightstand collecting dust? Maybe some of you don't even know. If I had to ask you, go get your Bible, you might not even know where your Bible is at. That's our weapon, church. often do you thank God for what He's done? How many times you just walk around your home, walk around your house, thank God for your family, thank God for your church, thank God for His mercy and His grace and His blessings. You see, if you're struggling with peace in your home and in your life, listen, you have the tools. You have the knowledge. Use it. Use it. This church will continue to press on. But sad to say, some of you here tonight will never experience the revival that you so much desire. Why is that? Because you're willing to live consistent over time. So I want to open up this altar tonight. You see, revival is not just something that we do once a year. It's not something that just happens once a month in our lives. It's something that needs to happen every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. You want a renewed life in Jesus? You want revival? Let it start tonight. Let it start tonight. Consistency, church. It takes consistency. Revival prayer meetings, it takes consistency. Reading His Word, it takes consistency. Repenting, it takes consistency. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Every day.